Okay, and welcome back. Hour number three. I'm glad you're along tonight. I hope you paid especially close attention to last hour and especially the last half an hour. That is your future. This is not a joke. These are not people coming in here through Ellis Island 120 years ago. These people are coming here with the sole intent, and you heard Tariq Farag tell you. He's an Egyptian, now an American citizen, a nuclear physicist. He told you the truth. Donald Trump is the only man who could have come along at this time who has the strength, the character, the patriotism, the courage, and the bravery to say we've got to stop the illegal immigration. He knows these people are coming here to destroy our way of life. What did Tariq Farag tell you? 90%, at least, that is their mission, their goal. They will not leave Islam. You ask any of them, do you believe in Sharia? If they say yes, they're out. Do you believe anyone leaving Islam should be punished? If they say yes, they're out. Look, Europe is finished unless they expel these people. We still have a handle on it. We have the minority status carefully set aside for them right now. That's where they are, and they've got to stay there. Donald Trump is talking about having all immigrants who come in here legally or under any circumstance of control sign a paper, an understanding of American cultural values. That they respect them, they honor them, and they agree to play ball and do it the American way. If they don't, they're out. It's very simple. Your future is now literally on the line. In that criminal, arch gangster, that wretched, horrific excuse for a human being, Hillary Rodham Clinton, will personally turn on the spigot, the tap, open the door, dissolve the borders, and bring millions of these people in here whose sole and overriding desire, goal, and basic ethic is to kill us, destroy our country, and make it their own. You want to live in that? There are over 40 communities in England already now which have been taken over by Muslims, and they have forced Sharia law to be the law of the city, the town, the township, whatever it may be. That's the game. Take over the city council, vote in Sharia law. We die, figuratively and then literally. It's going to happen. This is an age-old war. Islam against the Christian West. Over a thousand-year-old battle. And now the controllers of the West have decided, the George Soros, the Rothschild banksters, that the West needs to be homogenized, that miscegenation needs to be the rule, and they're bringing these people in here to do it. Look, this is not a joke. We've got 85 days left till the election, thereabout. Donald Trump must win by 20, 30 points to overcome the built-in criminal rigging of the election system and the electoral process here. You've got to support this man. I don't care if you don't like some of the things he says. Look at the issues. Look at his speech today, how he described the immigration situation. Study and understand, and I'm going to say this one more time, never for the rest of your lives should you ever trust the mainstream media. Ever. They are your enemy. All right, and I want to thank Yoshi for hanging on while I did that. Yoichi Shimatsu is back tonight. Yoshi's with us every Monday, has been for years. He is a man who understands great things. Japanese, American, he's in Thailand tonight, but he understands the world the environment like few people I've ever even imagined knowing. And I'm very proud to have him as a guest and a friend and a colleague. And he's standing by somewhere in Thailand. Are you there?
Yes, I am, and I appreciate your comments on immigration policy. You know, I did immigration counseling and lobbying work back in the 80s when the people from Indochina were coming over. And you have to understand, I was an anti-war activist in college, and these people were on the other side of the South Vietnamese side. But their lives were really in risk, you know, when the communists took over. They were put in re-education camps. But many of the people who came over were part of the government, would have been shot, killed, you know, brutalized. So, of course, because they fought for the American side, because, you know, they put their entire trust in the United States, of course, it was up to the United States to open their doors to these people because, you know, they had put their lives, their families, their land, everything on the line. Many of them were Catholic, you know, Christian. So they came over, you know, I lobbied for them, for people from Indochina. And those were legitimate refugees. Same time, we had people from El Salvador, huge, terrible, you know, wars going on there, American intervention. Here again, the United States has a responsibility. But as you said, the current refugees aren't the genuine refugees from the Middle East or Africa. You know, many of this is an extension of the Arab Spring. Many of them, and if you recall, Hillary Clinton's State Department made a deal with the Muslim Brotherhood. This is the, you know, grandma, grandpa of radical Islam, to support her revolutions in the so-called democratic revolutions in the Middle East, which turned into Islamic, you know, basically caliphates, okay?
Yes,
Islamic
yes.
Emirates.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so these are the people who are coming over. You know, these are like the most hardline, most cynical, jaded people. And you're right about the globalization. The underlying factor to overwhelm Europe is to dilute European culture and make a homogenized global culture. But that's failing. You know, Britain has left, Brexit, the Hungarians and, you know, the Slovaks, they're just adamantly opposing the immigration, you know, because their people are having hard times as it is. They can't afford to, you know, after integrating the EU, they can't afford to take care of all these refugees without any choice in the matter. You know, they're not told who's coming in. There's no,
that's right.
No vetting going on. So this is really an absurd situation. The Clintons are directly responsible. The Clinton Foundation was a major, I've written articles on this, a major force in financing this whole refugee crisis, along with the George Soros groups. They funded all the NGOs who welcomed these people, organized them, paid them to come over. And so, you know, this is not a legitimate refugee crisis. It's a staged event. It's an invitation for radicals to come in and to, you know, use violence in American society. And I just wrote you something about, you know, I'm very alarmed by the BET, the Black Entertainment, Black Entertainment Television Network.
Right, right.
Owned by Sumner Redstone, Jewish, one of the biggest Jewish media moguls, inciting black violence. I mean, this is crazy. Before an election, black people should be organizing themselves to participate in an election, not burning the town down and trying to divide the United States. So we're seeing these very forces of negativity being promoted by all those forces who are lining up behind Hillary Clinton to divide and rule. This is what divide and rule is all about.
I would say, suggest...
The end result is not pretty. It's going to be a lot of violence, a lot of innocent people being hurt,
that's
communities
right.
being destroyed,
yeah,
more people
there
being
is.
Displaced yeah. internally. It's just going to be chaos inside the host country, and that is wrong. America will, you know, will lose its ability to help other people in the world. You know, it's a
gone.
You know, generous country, often misguided, but I think basically generous to the world, that will all be destroyed.
There'll absolutely.
Be a country living yeah. in fear, living in fear of attack from their next door neighbors. This is not the way to build democracy. Absolutely not.
We need to revise that statement, the divide and rule. It's divide, destroy, and rule. Okay?
The
Don't forget that.
Division does. It destroys. Yes, exactly. Division destroys to rule. Yeah, so that these elites who have no competence, no ability to run a government, are totally undemocratic, autarkic, you know, plutocratic. They're the ones who will benefit, not the country. And the country will just get weaker and weaker and weaker until it ceases to exist as a country. And I think this is the real problem, what we're seeing. And this election is a stark choice. I agree with you. You know, Trump, is not an ideal candidate in the terms of he's not a politician. You know, he's not a trained politician. This is not his career. He's a businessman, but he's, you know, and he comes out of a very brutal business world. You know, it's not easy. New York City is by no means an easy place to do business. Either a small business, middle-sized or big, it's a rough competitive place. But at this point, you know, the better of the choice. You know, he may not be the best man.
There's no question that he's the best choice. Americans are used to career criminal politicians. So when a man like Trump, a real honest-to-God American patriot, businessman, steps out of the shadows into the limelight, they say, well, who is this guy? Oh, he said this. Oh, he said that. Well, that's the American stupidity at work. They've got to open their minds. We are going to be gone. We are going to be out of here if we don't pick Trump. It's that simple. Yeah. Tim Kaine, Hillary's vice president, today said he wants to see white Americans become the minority. Look, what does it take to get you people to understand? This is the end.
That's not a very good policy. I remember in California, a lot of super liberals were so happy the day that, you know, California become a majority.
Oh, they rejoiced. I know.
And I'm not sure, you know, I mean, the country had founding fathers. True, it was, you know, owned by the Native Indian Americans. You know, God bless them.
But, absolutely.
You know, the founding, the principles that founded this as a nation, America as a nation, were by predominantly Anglo-Saxons, Scots, Irish, French, you know, Huguenots and so on. You know, there weren't that many Germans then. They're Catholics down in the South. So basically, you've got to honor in a certain, you know, that tradition, that legacy, or you don't have a country, or you're going to go right into a civil war, secession, everything else. You know, if you don't honor that tradition, respect those people, their heritage, you know, a lot of people make fun of the DAR. I'm glad the organization, you know, the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Right.
I'm very glad that organization exists to remind us what America was made of, right? So, very important that we have a sense of tradition. You go to Japan and you oppose a tradition, you're out. You know, you say, you talk crap about the emperor. Goodbye, right? Same thing. That's part of the Japanese identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how that nation was founded.
Well,
the principles of your nation and the founding peoples are very, very important to any immigrant that comes over. They have to show respect. And if they refuse to, then out. Go back. You know, you like it somewhere else, go back to somewhere else.
This is what we're looking at here, the so-called Democrat process, the democratic process of equality, now means, under the New World Order, make everybody poor so we have two classes left, the elite and the poor. That's it.
Yeah, that's happening. That is happening. That's why I'm over, you know, in Thailand, you know, as a lot of other people from the United States and Europe have just been busted, where they, you know, they just can't. They can't make it. They can't make it there, so they've got to go in exile.
No,
and
we are looking at
the fault of a system that's not working for people. It's working.
It's
for
been
large
designed. It's been. It's been designed that way. It has been twisted that way. It is absolutely no accident. This is. Look, we're in the jaws of the lion. It's, you know, it's time to crawl out of the jaws. We're done. Gone.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just telling some of my friends, you know, over a beer the other night. Yeah, I can't believe back in the Japan Times, back in the 90s, I was writing editorials criticizing Bill Clinton, the Clinton corruption, the Vince Foster case, you know, the MENA, Arizona background and drug dealing.
That was in the 90s. That's amazing.
Now I'm in my third decade, and we got another Clinton slapping us in the head. I said, I can't
believe it. Well, it's the same too, Yoshi, it's the same too. It's the same too. Same too, coming back again for 8 more years to bury what's left of Uncle Sam.
Yeah, I just can't believe. How can the American electorate be this dumb, you know, or the Democratic Party be this dumb after everything, after these people have looted the United States, have destroyed, you know, Latin America, the Balkans, the Middle East. Their swath of destruction, the amount of loot that they have amassed, their absolute denigration of everyone else as some sort of inferior to their gangster, you know, to their gangster elite. And these are gangsters. You know, these are, let's make it very clear. These are, you know, Hillary from Chicago, you know, lawyer, bad lawyer for gangsters and all that. You know, so Bill Clinton, famously uncle was a gangster. These are criminals.
Son of, son of Winthrop Rockefeller. Very few people understand that.
Yeah. The illegitimate son of Winthrop Rockefeller. And, right. You know, and all the people who talk about, you know, carbon out, the Rockefellers for the big coal mining, you know, the coal miners, you know. So, you know, the hypocrisy and all of this astounding. And what can I say? You know, I would have liked to have seen either Bernie or Donald Trump, either one of them, as an anti-establishment candidate, push forward. Bernie obviously caved in for whatever reason. So
I think he was beaten night before he endorsed.
Both candidates have expressed doubts in nuclear power. Okay, they both have expressed some doubt in nuclear power. Mm-hmm. So that gives us at least a ray of hope, whereas the Clinton has never addressed the issue. Never will. She's tied in with Al Gore, who is definitely a product of nuclear power. So.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. We've got, as I've said, we are at the final crossroads. It's not an exaggeration. It's not an over-dramatization. It's not alarmism. It's the truth. And unless Donald Trump can win by 20, 30 points, they're going to throw this. They're going to fix this election. I said last first hour tonight, Yoshi, let's bring on Dana Durnford. Dana, are you there? You weren't here at the top. Now, there he is.
Yeah, I just got in the door. I just got back from...
okay.
I had to go to court today, right?
All right, well, we want to hear about that in a couple minutes. Yeah, I mentioned in the first hour tonight, Hillary's health is so bad that she's taking weekends off now. She is so afraid of the media, she will not hold a press conference because her health will... She may have a seizure. She's got to be scared to death of Donald Trump, who survived one assassination attempt and maybe two, the first 19-year-old kid who was trying to grab the cop's gun, obviously a mind control candidate. We are looking at an issue here that is so grim, I just don't have words for it. It's amazing. Anyway, Dana, tell us about your day. Go ahead, Yoshi, then we'll get to Dana.
That's why I know. We suspected you were in court. That's why you were late. So how was your day in court, Dana?
I didn't make it. Broke down last night on the highway at 120. Got the rear end on fire. Yeah, looks like I was sabotaged.
Well, did they put out a warrant for your arrest or anything?
Not surprising. Can you describe a little more your so-called accident?
So what I decided to do, because they barred me from using bananas, potato chips, and walking in sunshine. They barred me from having expert witnesses. They barred me from using the videos that I'm charged with, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So I decided I was going to bring down the Intrepid, my boat, and it has a nuclearproctologist.org on the site. And I know a lot of the judges got their windows on that side of the street.
So
I was going to be there for 6:30 a.m. and then everybody coming, all the judges and prosecutors would have to walk past the boat. And it stands out, right? It's a hardcore.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Great.
Almost got us killed, and it was a horror show all night. Crawled off the highway at 5 miles per hour for hours and hours and hours. Stop. Get it.
What happened?
Now I done the bearings last year. On it, both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, $500. Uh-huh. And had bearing buddies put on it. I had grease inserts put onto it, the whole nine yards. So it's like I take care of everything. It looks like they filled it up with sand. They took the hubs off and filled it up with sand. Took it to grease, per se, scooped it out, or they chiseled it. I'm not sure what happened there. But it looks to me, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I made a video, bizarrely, on Sunday before I left that I was worried about being assassinated because they have taken away so many of my rights in the court case. Mm-hmm. They barred me from using bananas, potato chips, and walking in sunshine. They didn't use a court order to take down the two videos I'm accused of. They used YouTube accounts while I was in jail for 12 hours. But they gave me a court order to take down 300 videos. So why didn't they get a court order to take down the videos I'm accused of? And why did they bar me from using the videos in court? They're not allowed to use the videos. They're only going to use the transcripts of the sentences I'm accused of, but they're not going to have any context or anything like this. So I know I'm being set up. I'm going to get thrown under that bus.
Yeah, well, this is the 299 videos that had nothing to do with allegedly making a threat have to do with one video, right? Take down the court? This is so much overreact. It's so much bias.
Well, they're doing it to sweep all the evidence of nuclear contamination, radiation contamination, death, environmental catastrophe, extinction event.
Documentation of the Expedition for Life, a lot of that got taken down. Expedition while I was on the ocean. And so, go ahead.
Which wheel did they take out?
That was the driver's side. Both of them, right? On the other side was destroyed too, yeah?
Yeah.
So they crammed what you're thinking they put sand in there and the bearings just went to hell.
Yeah, I never had enough money for an event like this or even close to it. I raised money to do the things I've done.
Yeah, and that's
my fifth trip to court. That was $200 each way for the ferries, blah, blah, blah. And so it bankrupted me by the time I got there and got back regardless. But with the accident and having just the whole nightmare of finding mechanics unbelievable.
Yeah, so they're trying to flip your car if they're doing the front wheel.
They would have wrote the whole thing off.
Slow you down, but they want to flip the car. But lucky you had that ramp.
There's no way we should have pulled off. We should have lost everything on the highway. And they got all kinds of tow trucks. They say they clean up these messes all the time. Those wheels will come right off and go flying. I had to catch it. I seen the wobble. I felt it. I looked. I seen the fire. Yeah. I was like, wow, we're in so much trouble at 120K. And
Doing 120K?
Major traffic all the
way. Wait. You're at the 120K mark or?
Doing 120 kilometers an hour when it happened.
You were doing 120. What's that in miles per hour?
70.
Okay. So you had an actual fire broke out
of the boat trailer.
I got it. You would have lost the boat. You would have lost everything.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I would have flipped it. I should have lost the wheel. The wheel should have come off. The mechanic told me this morning, got no idea why that wheel was still on it.
Yeah. All right.
He said that's unbelievable.
Actually, the boat trailer probably saved your life. That probably kept the car from flipping. Saved your life. You'd be thankful to your boat. Yeah. That's a blessing that the trailer was on.
All right. Exactly. Hold on just a minute, guys. We've got to take a break. We'll come right back. Hang on. Talking to Yoshi and Dana. Dana tried to go to court, couldn't make it for reasons that are more than suspicious. Glad he's okay. What did the court say? Did they reschedule you?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. The prosecutor, some of the hounds were in court looking for me to support me, and I didn't show up. And so after court, the first court, they reschedule it. And so then I got another hound phoned me up, and prosecutor was Dira. And so I talked to the prosecutor. My first words to the prosecutor was, I almost died because of these false charges. And I said, I won't be there today because I'm broke down, and I'm in this trouble because of what you've done to me. But he accommodated me, no problem. We were going here with a trial on September the 20th, 21st and 22nd. He appointed a lawyer, a firm. Blah blah blah. He gave me a number for me. Yeah.
All right.
So, I talked to 60 lawyers.
Maybe does it, Dana? Does this mean they're going to back off a little bit?
You can read this many ways, I suppose. In some ways, I wouldn't be surprised if you knew what happened to me already, and if he was part of it because of what he's done and the things that he have done in courtrooms to me. And on the other side of it, I don't know what to make of it. I'm still in shock. I'm still I'm still upset about it. And, like, I was very suspicious of everybody since this has happened to me because I'm surrounded by strangers down there and on the ferry, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
and so I see a change in myself over this. But, like, that wasn't supposed to happen. That shouldn't have happened. And that I'm not – I'm on top of things. That as far as – like, 2 weeks ago, I was on the bearings. The bearings were fine. And I'm getting ready for another expedition. At the end of this week, I'm taking off for 3 weeks.
No, you're meticulous in your planning, and you're taking care of all details. We know that.
That's how I do things, yeah? I'm always – everything is written down. Everything is checked all the time. Everything is normal. It's all in the logbooks. But the prosecutor, no problem at all. I was supposed to be there today. They were going to issue a warrant for me if I wasn't there this morning, allegedly. But he told me – now, he argued with me about it briefly – but he had told me that if I didn't show up, I didn't have to show up because they were just appointing a lawyer for me. I said, no, I'm going to show up. But it was a different story this morning where apparently I could have had a bench warrant out for me. And now I didn't even care this morning. I didn't care about the court at all. I was because of what happened last night, and I had to go find mechanics. I don't have the money. I had to call up a friend here in town and get him to fund all of that for me.
Yeah.
And now I got to pay all that back, of course.
I'm curious about him appointing a law firm to represent you.
No, he's not. I'm sorry. Let me back that up. They're not representing me. They're helping me because I'm defending myself, right?
All right. Now, they're going to counsel you on how to proceed. Okay.
Right. I can't cross-examine the two main monsters. But the lawyer has to do that. But I direct the lawyers for each and every question. So I'll be all over these people.
These people.
2 inches of my space ever. They will do what I tell them to do and that only. I can assure you they won't speak their own minds ever. They're not taking a chance on this one. But I don't think it's going to trial. I can't imagine them going to trial. I can't even, if I had to got down there today, we wouldn't be going to trial. Period. And I put the video out on Sunday that proves that, because I would have told the judge, you just got rid of my motive, you got rid of the context by the video, you got rid of the motive by the banana potato chips that walked in sunshine. How are you going to go to trial without a motive for context or a reason? Because you took away the expert witnesses from me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You demonized me in the media, call me a murderer, literally. And so it's pretty completely prejudiced, and it should never go to trial. And it's cost me a fortune. A fortune. 5 different trips down to this place on Vancouver on Ferries hotels each time.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It's insane what they got done to me.
This is how the system works. Data up there, down here, it doesn't matter. The normal people are ground up and under the boot heel of fascist corruption, and they do kill people. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, they're killing us now.
Well, Dana, can I give you a little advice?
Sure.
You need the full mechanics report, but also then a separate letter of the mechanics opinion, okay? The police report, if you got one, of the if there was any police around the site.
Oh,
and then you got to look around for any witnesses in your area, usually convenience stores, they keep an eye out. They may have a security camera out front of who might have drove in when you weren't home to do the sabotage
We had one of my biggest opponents out there, one of these vicious thugs out there, came into my community several weeks ago.
There you go.
Right? Okay. And they put videos out on their website. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be
like a scouting visit. They would probably send someone out afterwards, a criminal out to sabotage. So you got to compile your evidence. I think you better the national level prosecutor. The state's not going, the province is not going to do a thing. And a copy to the prime minister's office, right? And to the attorney general, whatever that's called, the chief litigator for the government, federal.
You gotta
really make this case very serious. The area you're in is very notorious for these, former or off-duty police officers. You remember they're part of the black bloc that went to Seattle during the WTO demonstrations and disrupted things, pretending to be anarchists. A lot of hit jobs in the Seattle area are conducted by Canadian retired policemen.
False flag standards.
So what happened to Jeff, what happened to you could be the same organization. behind that, who just hire themselves out to the nuclear industry, and they do the job on either side of the border. So I think you really got that complaint over. Maybe Jeff can do a supporting thing on your accident, Jeff, so that you send it right to the Prime Minister's office, the highest levels of the Canadian government, you know, and the Governor General's office, too. British representative, Crown representative.
I also treat all kinds of these people with the documentation. And so, you do that too many times, you become ostracized, and then
this is attempted murder. This is attempted assassination.
It is.
So,
yeah, I mean, they slashed the bottom of my boat when I was going on one expedition.
Yeah, right? you got to show all these incidents, forming a pattern. And these people obviously aren't just a bunch of fishermen who might be angry at you. This is an organized conspiracy by nuclear industry, and they're hitting it. Yeah,
yeah, they're notorious thugs, and they have an incredible amount of money. And I don't need to tell you guys, obviously, but that is shocking that I couldn't make it to court. That is shocking that I went.
Well, shocking, you're still alive. It's shocking. Yeah, no, it's what's shocking is that you're still alive. That's what's shocking. Yeah,
because I'm worried about these people, so I'm paying attention to everything. Yeah. I'm paranoid. I'm just. I understand.
You know, it was an absolute fluke that you towed the
Pulled
boat.
That off. Yeah. No, it was towed.
You know, I mean, that probably saved your life.
Anybody.
You know, it's a miracle.
I didn't tell anybody. I didn't announce I was going to do that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's an absolute miracle that you decided to hitch the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're stalking me.
Look, well, take it to the top all the way, because. You know, this is like attempted, murder. It becomes a political assassination. You know, you've got to take it to the top all the way.
I'm taking it to the top. I'm going out on another expedition. When we hit court, that's going to make the documentary's coming out right behind that, and in the book.
All right, tell us.
I'll be out on tour, and I'll be in their communities. I can assure you.
Dana, tell us how the documentary is progressing, and I hope you can get some credible environmental organization to help you premiere it in some major theaters, a special showing, whatever. You've got to get somebody behind you that's got some clout. I don't know who it would be. I don't know who to suggest.
I don't got no idea. But it's got to be done anyway, so.
You know, there is a group in Santa Cruz.
I'll be doing a press release. That'll be a press release.
Well, yeah, we'll run it.
I'll do every media on the planet myself. I'll get every email. I'll call up every 1-800 number. You've got no worries about Dana.
Now, there's a group.
I once went after the Canadian government. Here's what I done. Mm-hmm. In 4 days, I had every email and every phone number of every radio station and every TV and every print in Canada. And I called them personally for the next 2 months nonstop about four people who got murdered by police here in British Columbia, Canada. And so I went right after these people. And I never had a single reply. No one would tell the story. I had pictures. I had the witnesses. I had the families. Wow. And I went after them hardcore. I contacted the RCMP in Ottawa, the RCMP in Victoria. Uh-huh. I went way up the ladder, and I was vocal about it. I had signs in my windows for 2 years. And so, I don't hide away from anything or anybody.
Okay, let me tell you something. An organization in Santa Cruz, an environmental group, a very, very sincere-sounding group, they wrote to me and they said, we understand you've got a product, BioSuperfood, that was supposedly created to help the people at Chernobyl. It's proven. It's the only thing that will help rid the body of radiation accumulation, help repair damage, blah, 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 increase your nutrition, build your defenses, all of that, your whole immune system. And they asked about that, and they said, you know, can you tell us about it? Is it real? Is it da-da-da? And I wrote them back, and I said, absolutely, completely correct, scientifically validated. And I put them in touch with the owner of the product. These people in Santa Cruz, if you remember back, now rewind and go back, do you remember when the first radiation, the first big cells were moving across the Pacific? What did the animals do? They tried to get away from it. Do you remember what happened in Monterey Bay, Yoshi, and Santa Cruz? They had this enormous, unprecedented congregation of sea life. Unbelievable. You can almost walk on the backs of the animals.
Half, about a year and a half, 2 years after. Yeah, when the waters really started pumping in.
Yes, and that's these people were spawned by that particular freak show of animals trying to get away, and they know what's happening. Yeah. So,
it was
I'm
like
saying
that when I was young, Jeff.
Yeah, well,
it was like that all the time.
What I'm saying,
I would slow the boat down for hours to avoid the whales because I was afraid to tear the rudder off.
Yeah, sure. Well, these animals were in there trying to find food, trying to find shelter, trying to get away from the poison water. What I'm saying is this group in Santa Cruz might want to premiere your documentary down there.
That's a really strong point. And there's so many organizations that have done that. Go ahead, Jeff. Yoshi, I'm sorry.
You know about that nuclear blast in the late 1950s, right? In the Aleutian Islands?
The Aleutian Islands? Yes, I do.
You saw whales congregating? Yeah, there was a major underwater nuclear blast that the Native American people in the Aleutian Islands are still complaining about. You know,
right,
it was an underwater blast at one island.
The structure
The
structure of the water 2,000 miles away also changed for up to 2,000 miles away after that rear blast.
Yeah. But I tell you, if you saw these congregations when you were a child, that probably was the source. There was a massive underwater nuclear blast. I think it was a plutonium bomb. And, the natives had to be evacuated away. It took them years to get back there. And they're still complaining about birth defects and things like that. So.
The Marshallese just got $12,000.
Yeah.
Each. The ones
That had shockwaves for a decade. That had shockwaves for a decade in the Pacific.
Yeah, and what they found out was that, after these nuclear tests, your fresh water, on land in particular, your fresh water up to 2,000 miles away changes its structure. That's a very interesting thing, say. Water is life, right?
Well, this is like you're talking about the Japanese researcher, what the heck is his name? Doggone it. Who did all the water structure work.
Koide?
No. He did
structured water.
He did the structured water experiments. Japanese researcher, I can't remember, he was a brilliant guy. He showed water. In other words, you play rock and roll and the water takes on a certain molecular configuration.
Scientists understand how to change the structure, and we can do that, but we don't know why it does that. But, water is the only one that exists in three forms, gas, liquid, and solids, ice. Yeah. But water, and I'll just cut everybody off for one second, because I think this is really important, is that water, if you talk to water, there's an old one from an old monk who was locked up in a prison. He was given dirty water and dirty bread, and he prayed over it and changed the structure of the water, and 15 years later, he was still perfectly healthy. But this was 900 years ago, the story comes from. But when you look at the actual physical experiments where they took the water out of the Andes, flew it by helicopter to the airport, flew it in to Berkeley and gave it to terminally ill patients. They took blood samples out of the patients every 20 minutes and gave them a glass of water. So they took the first sample with no water, and after that, every 20 minutes, took a sample. And they watched the blood on plate immediately with the first sample and continue to do it. You watch the person become almost healthy again. And they say that the very wealthy don't wash their hands with soap. They wash it with structured water because it doesn't destroy natural bacteria on your hand. But structured water...
Emoto.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Masaru Emoto is the scientist.
Yeah.
Emoto.
Yeah, I haven't seen that before. Yeah, I'll look it up. Yeah.
But plants grow 30% bigger, 30% quicker. Structured water and quicker, right? 30% quicker is huge alone.
Yeah.
And still have 30% more foliage on it.
Right.
To the product. That alone should, really, and that's like glacier water or really deep spring water or mountain water has ran through all the natural rocks and stuff like this. And certainly, all ice, right? That's structured water. But if you put chemicals in it or put a machine to it, you change the structure to another structure that doesn't work with the human body the same way. And water, of course, is full of life. It's not just water. It's full of actual life itself.
Well, if I could figure a way to deionize the water that way, you could remove the radioactivity out of the water, if they can. I'm not sure. I know nothing about this area.
I'm sorry. Jump gears. I just wanted to throw that out just for everybody.
When is the documentary tentatively scheduled to be finished approximately? What do you think?
Right after court, by the looks of it. But I'm going to go out and do 3 weeks on the ocean before court. And I'm going to try.
Are you going to get the documentary finished before you go back out to sea?
No, because that'll be in a few days.
Right.
So when I come right after court is when the documentary will come out because I want to
and
tell
how
that
long
story.
Is
I want
it?
That story in the documentary.
Okay, how long is it?
It's going to be about 40 minutes.
Good length.
Everything I got chopped out, I made it complicated, and then I went back to just telling the story, and that seems to be appropriate, right?
I know you'll have as many before and after photographs or video segments as possible.
I can make like 100 documentaries out of this, stuff like that.
Okay, and well, that's crucial. When people see that, so much. It just knocks them over.
And so, but it's so important that the whole story got told at this time. For some reason, and I guess that's just the way it is. And it's I wanted to get it out just after I came home, you know that. And then I got arrested.
Who's doing the narration on it?
And so I don't know
who's doing the narration, Dana?
I haven't decided how that is going to play out.
Well, if you want a narrator, I'll do it for you.
I haven't decided if there's going to be a narrator.
All right, if there is one, I'll help.
But thank you, Jeff, by the way. Thank you for just saying that. I appreciate that. And I'll take that to heart, too. Yes. And, but this time I'm going to go up and run up and do interviews with people in gas stations or fuel docks, taxi drivers. I'm going to do everything I see with a camera for 3 weeks. And then at court on top of that. And then the documentary comes out shortly after that. And I got the equipment to pull it off.
Oh, yeah, I know you do.
Burn me down first. But I'll get it if they destroy me. Because they killed 9 computers in 1 year on me. I mean, how many computers you buy a year, right? It's ridiculous what they've done to me.
Yeah. But that's the patience,
I keep coming back. I just keep coming back. Yeah. I almost never come back last night, I can assure you. That was messed up. That should never happen. That should never happen. It can never happen again.
Well, they know you can't check everything before every vehicle trip. No way. You just can't do it.
Now I will.
Yeah. Oh, well, you would. But the average person, no. They didn't even think about it.
You did the
pre-check. You did the bearings. You took care of that. You wanted to be sure.
I was going to paint them. They match them up. But, I didn't. Two weeks ago.
Anything new on the biology? We got 3 minutes left. Anything new on the biology of the extinction event? What's anything coming in?
Hey, you know, I was right sitting down by the ocean most of the day up on Vancouver Island. There's nothing there. There's all kinds of people there. There was nothing there. And all came home along the shoreline. There was nothing there.
Same. Working for a week outside when I can get out 2-3 hours a day. I don't see any insects. No flies? Yeah. Nothing.
I asked people this morning, walking by, how's the insects this morning? And some of them looked at me like I had 3 heads, of course. And I said, I was just curious how the insects are doing along here. And everybody answered me. And most people just kind of brushed it off. And all of them did, basically. But that's what I need to do for the next 3 weeks, is get out there and get into people's face, get it on camera, whether they want it or not, and see. Because I got to tell that story, and we got to tell it now, because there's nothing left out here. And then from what I'm hearing, like the insects, there's nothing on windshields. That's going around this place here now heavily. Everybody's talking about it. That's how they're winning the conversation now in Fukushima. Telling people, go check your windshield and come back and talk to me before you say something about Fukushima that's not true or something. Right. You tell me how many insects, and they all kind of like, what? Well, gee, that's right. I haven't cleaned my windshield forever. Damn, man, never even thought about it. So many people have come across instantly with that, just that single question, say, because it's real. We all get that one.
Right.
See, I'm a diver for 14,000 hours, so I get the ocean, but most people can't understand anything like that I, you know, want to talk about, and I get that. But the insects, we all get that. We all scrub their windshields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
The mechanic said today, because they went to my website, and he's like, God Almighty. He said, man. He said, at least we had a life. He said, it's too bad about everybody else. But at least he got it right away. They went over all the mechanics and everything there. They got it on their own. Mm-hmm. I knew that would happen. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to park the boat in front of the courthouse. And they knew that's what would happen, too, if I got it there. So they probably dumped me on the ferry. Who knows?
You never know. You'll never know. Yeah. But you're okay. That's crucial. You're okay.
Okay, well, let's wind her down, Jeff. But, I mean, that's, after what? How many times did I almost die on the ocean? We had one of our donors was harassed till he committed suicide, the major donor originally. We've had where I've lost 2 teeth in just like a few days period. Got violently sick, lost hair, 2 teeth, 2 healthy teeth out of my head. Unbelievable. I mean, and all these other... You know, my Zodiac getting slashed, the bottom of it, I'm going out to sea with that, and then I put it in the water, and I'm going to shore, and it's filling up with water. There's good waves. I'm in trouble, and I got no way to patch that. it takes 24 hours to patch it. And, like, you know, all of these things, they've tried many times. They had their goes at me. Why don't they just kill me? Get it over with, because then it looks like a murder. And then the questions will never stop, and people will come look at the material we done. And you, anybody goes to the website and knows anything about marine biology,
go to nuclearproctologist.org, nuclearproctologist.org. Do your research, look at the research there, and then make your decisions.
Get a marine biologist, go and debunk it, and I'll give it all up, because it can't be done. You can't go out and find the species that are not there anymore. And this is only 5 years, and that there's thousands and thousands of isotopes, and all they talk about is cesium-137 because it's a tracer meant to everything else. They never told anybody that in their entire history. Every dog has died for 70 years. Every animal died within a few years of being given that. And now we do that to our children, our friends in the hospital. Yeah, killing me is no big deal.
All right, we're running out of time.
Well,
Dana,
get some rest there, Dana, and get your evidence. And this is a serious murder attempt. The nuclear industry murders a lot of people, but they're doing it.
Well, this goes back to
now. I mean, this is just pure outlaw stuff. We got
it is.
Point. And
it's
murder on Jeff. This is just an outrage. But
it's like Karen Silkwood. Remember they killed Karen Silkwood? Dana. You take care. All righty.
Just came in the door and turned it on because I
had to. All right. Thanks for being here.
Great. Okay. I mean, perfect.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, you, man. Get some rest. Get some rest. You deserve it.
All right.
Hugs, everybody.
All right, Yoshi. A lot of stuff going on.
Unrelenting nightmare.
It truly is. Every direction you look, there's darkness.
Yeah.
Every direction you look.
And we're just tired of this murderous regime. You know, I've written stories about that. The second attempt on Donald Trump's life. The guy with the Glock inside the Trump Tower. The media refused to look at it. They won't rebut it.
Nobody will even talk about it. Look at Yoshi.
They don't go near it.
Look at Yoshi's columnist box on the left-hand side. Read the research. Read the data. Make up your own mind. But at least read and understand what's going on around here. It's not good. Not good at all. All right. You take care of yourself down there.
Yeah, very good then.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. And, quite a 3 hours tonight. I hope you paid special attention to the second hour, the second half of that hour. Remarkable. It's what it is. It's what we're dealing with. All right, tomorrow night, another program for you. Jim Kerwin, Gordon Duff, etc. And we move right through the week. Lots of very intelligent people with a good analyses for you to consider as you make up your own mind. Talk tomorrow night. Thanks for being here.